Hello, everyone. It's good to be here sharing with you today. You know, we have been going through a series called The New Normal. Of course, we're adjusting to a new normal in our lives in all of this pandemic situation. I want to just quickly remind you where we've been over the past few weeks. We've been telling different stories of biblical characters. We talked about Daniel. Tyler shared with us the story of Daniel, who was in the midst of the exile from their nation, the people of Israel. And Daniel chose to remain committed to God in his faith, despite all the how comfortable it would have been to change. Rahab was an outsider who became an insider, who let go of her fear to find faith and family in the community of God. Then there was Jonah. Well, Jonah was actually not a great example. He was one who chose to stay the way he was. And rather than embrace sort of God's heart, he stayed in his old ways. It can be really hard and challenging in a time of great transition to know what to do, how to respond. We can feel powerless. We can feel like we don't have the ability to do the things we normally do in the way that we want to do. We can feel our capacity is challenged and maybe even lacking and empty. And I was thinking about that this week, and I came upon from my memory a story. And it was a story of a time I took a group of youth on a work retreat. And during that retreat, we were building a bit of a bridge for a camp. And while we were doing it, we had this one carpenter from the church who was teaching us how to do it. He was leading us through, guiding through. Of course, many of these teenagers had never done any project like this before. And so they were learning as we went. And there was one particular kid, and he was holding his hammer way up here. And he would just go tap, 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 trying to get a nail in. And if you've ever tried to hammer a nail, you know this is not the way to get a nail to go in. And so the carpenter came alongside that young person and said, no, you've got to hold it back here. You're doing it wrong. But if you hold it back here, the hammer will do the work for you. And the work that you're trying to do now, it's you've got more control up here, but no power. And if you hold back here, you've got all kinds of power because the hammer does the work for you. In a time like this, we can be really tempted to try to stay in control of a lot of things, but we won't have power to change. We won't have power and ability to do the things that we really need to do to survive this well, but to do more than that, to thrive. We need to figure out the right way to experience the power of God. And you know, there's a verse in Galatians that really speaks to this well. And this verse is a challenging one. It says, how foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? See, for people who follow Jesus, there's a new normal. There's a new way to live. And there's one way, it's your way, which is to be controlling and do it by your own human effort. But the real way of power is to let the Spirit do the work for you. And so today I want us to consider what it means to let the Spirit be our new normal, the Spirit's power and capacity to become ours. Jesus spoke about this in John chapter 3. He was speaking with a man named Nicodemus, who was a religious teacher and leader. And Nicodemus wanted to know, how am I going to see the kingdom? How am I ever going to see the world change and be what it was meant to be? He had a sense that the world wasn't the way it was supposed to be. And he came and asked Jesus, how do we see the kingdom come? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Jesus is emphasizing here for us that we don't have the capacity to see the change that we're looking for. We don't have the ability to change the world around us in the way that we really want to see it. We don't have the capacity to accomplish what we want within ourselves to make that lasting, real change. Jesus said it even more strongly in John chapter 6 later on. He said, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. That's pretty straightforward. And the very words I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. So the words of Jesus are leading us to a life of Spirit and a life that is full of life, not simply effort. And so I want us to listen carefully to the text of Scripture, the words of Jesus that bring Spirit and life, so that we understand what the new normal for a Christ follower is. We might think we've got this, but this is a pretty basic thing that if we get it wrong, we're going to be really ineffective. We're going to find ourselves stuck in behaviors and patterns that don't really accomplish much. It's like when you're holding the hammer just a little too high up. You have more control, but you've got a lot less power. And so today, we're going to understand what it means to live in the Spirit's power, which is the new normal of the Christian life. And really, to do that, we're going to look at one specific story in the New Testament. It's very early in Acts. In fact, it's really the beginning of the church. It's the story in Acts chapter 2, what we call Pentecost. And as the story begins, let me read the first couple of verses and then explain them. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Now let's stay on that for a moment. What was the day of Pentecost? Well, this was a festival that was born in the Old Testament, one of the Israelites' stories of their history. And it, over time, it had become a celebration of the giving of the law of Moses, the instructions that the Israelites lived by. But on this day, something happened. This day, Pentecost, well, the day actually means 50, and so we're talking about 50 days after Passover. You'll remember Passover was the time when Jesus was killed. And so 50 days after Jesus is killed, we now have another festival where something new happens. And when Jesus was killed, he was then raised, and he promised his disciples that he was going to send the Spirit for them, that they were going to be able to live a new life, that they were going to be able to do powerful things because of that Spirit. And the Spirit was going to make it possible for them to go and do and all that Jesus had been teaching them to do. And so on this day, 50 days after Passover, Jesus' promise comes true into their lives. And the rushing of the wind, although you may not have picked up on that, is very similar to the beginning of Genesis, at the beginning of the Bible, where there is a birth of human beings. How does God bring life to the human beings? He breathes into them. And the word in Hebrew, Greek, there is this resonance of breath and wind being the same thing in spirit. And so here Jesus is birthing something new. He is creating a new humanity by his Spirit, breathing into human beings, allowing them to have a new kind of power. Here's the verse. The very next verse says, "Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability." So you see, the Holy Spirit is filling them now. There is this new humanity, this new way to be human, this new normal for all of us when we choose to follow Jesus. And the point I want us to see from this is that the Spirit's power is God's presence. He's actually living within us. This gives us a sense of reassurance. We're not doing this on our own anymore. We're not doing it in our own power and strength. We're not relying on our own abilities, which is great news when we're in a difficult time like this and we feel weak. Instead, we are relying on the power of God, which is present by the Holy Spirit. That's great news for us. It's a gift. It's a blessing. But let's continue to lean into this and listen to the story. As the story progresses, they begin to speak in other languages. Now, some people have gotten too hung up on the word here. In other translations, it says tongues. It's seen as something really mystical. Yes, it's unusual for sure. But what these disciples and believers are doing is they're talking about Jesus, and they're making it clear by speaking the languages of the people all around them. So in this moment, the good news of Jesus is going out in power because God is present in their lives. And the words of Jesus' life and the testimony that they share as witnesses to him are just proclaimed really powerfully, particularly by one person, the disciple Peter. Listen to some of the words that Peter says. This is the focus of his short sermon. "God raised Jesus from the dead." That's big news. "And we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today." What Peter is telling them is that it's a new era. It's a new day. There is a new way to live because we have the presence of God within us. This is really good news. This is what Jesus promised for us. He came to make that kingdom possible, a new way of life, a new way for the world to experience everything that God had fully intended at the beginning. And so now, in this moment, Peter is announcing it's a new day, it's a new era, and new things are possible because God is present among us. And he goes on, you know, in the beginning, he's talking about this new era, and he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. You see what's happening here? In this new day and age, Peter is telling them, from the words of Scripture, that this is good news for everyone. It's for young and old. It's for those who are servants or people without power. It's for those who are feeling outside of the story of Israel and the people of God. This is good news for absolutely everyone. There is nobody on the margins of this. And this Spirit's power is for everyone. You and your history in your life, the bad decisions you've made, the weakness that you've felt, the inability that you've demonstrated, your failures, your shortcomings, none of that limits you from experiencing God's power through His Spirit. Because of what Jesus has done and the new era He has initiated, we can have real power, real life. This is great news. You can get in on this. And it's not about your abilities, it's about what God is able to do in you and through you when He's present. And that's for everyone. Well, this is the opportunity for a new start. And I want to take a moment for us to explore what it means for us to start out this new way of living. And Peter draws it out as he speaks. He makes it clear to them because the people start saying, this is amazing. What you're telling us is amazing. Brothers, what should we do? What should we do with this information, this good news that you've given to us? And Peter responds in this way. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Let's just look at the three things Peter says that they need to do here. He says, first of all, repent and turn to God. Second, be baptized. Third, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What Peter is saying is necessary to live this new way of life, to live with that kind of power, is to, first of all, repent and turn to God, or in other words, to live Christ's way, not our own. We don't hold the hammer up here anymore. We hold it down here. We don't do it our way. We do it the right way, God's way. The way that Christ taught us, showed us, demonstrated. And second, we're baptized. Well, what does that mean? You've perhaps seen a baptism, or you're aware of what it looks like. It's when a person goes down into the water and then comes back up. But there's a symbol there. And the symbol is that we die to our old way of life, our own life, and we are raised to a new life, just as Jesus was killed and crucified and buried and then raised to resurrection life. We join in that life, and we live Christ's life as we celebrate our own baptism. So there's this decision to identify with Christ and make His life our life. And then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is we get Christ's power. You know, when Jesus was baptized at the very beginning of His ministry, He was baptized by His cousin John. And as John brought Him up out of the water, the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, came and rested upon Him. And the voice of God, the Father, was heard saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. See, we get the power of the Holy Spirit resting upon us and the voice of the Father saying that He loves us. We are beloved as we live this new life. So we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is Christ's power. So the three things that we are meant to really focus on there are to repent and turn to God, which is to live Christ's way, to be baptized, which is to live Christ's life, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is Christ's power. Now, this is a new start that's possible for you. If you've never done this, if you're new to Christianity, if you're trying to explore all this, these are steps you can take today. You can call on the name of Jesus and ask him to forgive you of your sin and repent. Repent means to turn away from something and turn to God's way. You can choose to be baptized. Now, we're not doing baptisms quite yet, but hopefully soon we're going to be able to do that. Get your name on the list. Let us know you want to do it. Let us know that you want to be part of the life of Jesus. And then you'll experience the power of the Holy Spirit living within you. And these things are possible for you if this is your first time coming to that decision, or whether you recognize now that you haven't been living in the Spirit's power and that you need to do that now. And if that's the case, repent and turn back to God. If that's the case, that you haven't been living in the Spirit's power, you've just been trying to do it on your own, well, repent and turn back to God. Make sure that you are following Christ's way. Now, you've already been baptized. You don't need to be baptized if that's the case. All you need to do is remember that your life is focused in Christ's life, that your identity isn't based in your work, your effort, the things that you can do, your skills, ability, your capacity. No, your identity is the life of Christ. And be focused once again on that. And third, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Continue to rely on that gift and make that the source of your strength and power. Well, I want to now speak, that's how this really starts. This is how the new way of living starts and how you get in on it. But I want to take a moment now to describe how we continue to live out that life. And we'll see that as we look at the story of Pentecost, how the people responded to Peter's message when he told them to repent, be baptized, and to be filled by the Spirit. And living that new normal of life in the Spirit, with the Spirit's power, we see it expressed in this way. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, which we sometimes now call communion, and to prayer. So let's focus on those three things, what they devoted themselves here to. Well, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship and sharing in meals, and they devoted themselves to prayer. We could talk about this from a number of different angles, but for today's purposes, let's look at just those three things here. Well, the apostles' teaching was about Christ's way. Fellowship and sharing in meals is how they practiced life together. And prayer is the experience of Christ's power. That's how Christ drew his power from his Father, from the Spirit, was through prayer. So what they were committing themselves to in the apostles' teaching and following Christ's way was the Spirit-filled Word. When we read Scripture, when we follow scriptural, biblical teaching, well, we're filling ourselves with the Spirit's Word. And we're allowing ourselves to rely on the Spirit. When we're finding ourselves in fellowship and sharing meals, doing life together, well, that's how we practice the life of Jesus, with repentance, with forgiveness, with encouragement, with blessing, with generosity. And so we need to find ourselves in a Spirit-filled community. And when we practice prayer, which is the source of Christ's power, we are really focusing ourselves on that Spirit-filled presence in our lives. So how do we continue to live out of the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can actually get beyond our human energy and capacity and do more than that, do more than we ever imagined? Well, we follow Christ's way. We live Christ's life, and we do it in Christ's power. We do that by focusing on the Word of God that's filled with the Spirit. We do that by gathering together in community, relying on each other. And we do that by filling ourselves and finding ourselves in the presence of God. Now, I want you to just to notice, all three of these things are things that teach us a reliance that's beyond ourselves. We rely on God's Word, or Christ's way, not our own. We rely on others that are filled by the Spirit to find Christ's life. And we rely on the presence of God. So now we're no longer living based on our own human effort. We're no longer trying to control it by our own ability. We're finding a position of power and strength because it's outside of ourselves, and it's rooted in the power and strength of God himself. See, for those who follow Jesus, there is a new way to live. There is a new power available to us. And we don't have to be in control of it all. We can give control to God so that we can find more power. If you remember the hammer up here, when you're trying to remain in control, well, you just don't have the power. You don't have the capacity to do what you're trying to do. But here, the hammer does the work for you. When we allow the Spirit to do the work for us, we can become changed. We can become new. And when we as a church gather together and find ourselves in community, relying on the Word of God so that we know the way of Christ and we find his presence amongst us in prayer and in community, well, that's a moment where we find such incredible strength and power that the kingdom of God, what it means to live a new life, is visible to the whole world. Can you imagine what it would be like for the world to see a community of people, individuals who have really been changed, who are really living in a new way, who have a power that is beyond themselves, so that storms like this and difficulties of the circumstances we're in now don't seem to faze them in quite the same way? We don't have to do it alone, and we don't have to do it in our own power. This is good news for us today. This is good news for the world today. And this is the good news that Jesus was sending his church out to share, not in our own strength, not in our own power, but in his power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, that's a gift for us. That's life for us. Let's focus on Jesus and what he's shown us in the way of the Spirit so that we can live our lives with power and that we can weather this storm and this season with grace and power and strength and thrive in the midst of it all. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you that you don't leave us on our own, that you give us yourself by your Spirit. And your Spirit is power for us to live in a new way. We're no longer powerless. We're no longer alone trying to make this happen. But instead, we have all of your resources at our disposal to be like you, to love like you, and to live in a new way. Help us not to rely on our own human effort, but instead to source our strength in your power. Teach us to follow your ways, to live your life, and to recognize your presence and power amongst us as we learn to follow the way of the Spirit in all things. We don't have to live this life in our own weakness, but we can live it in your power. And that's a gift that we celebrate today. For those who have not started out on that life, God, I pray that they would have a burning desire to begin that new life with you. And for those that are maybe recognizing that they haven't lived that way, they've lived in a way that's foolish and they haven't done it right, well, help them to swallow their pride, to come back to you and to rely on you and your ways for all things. We know you're good, we know you're loving, and we know that your way is best. May your kingdom come. May your life be ours by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thanks, Cornerstone.